Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
All Things Covered listeners, All Things Covered viewers, we have a special show for you guys, as we oftentimes bring you. If you're fans of the NFL, if you're a fan of college football, if you're fans of HBCU football, if you're a fan of high-tier defensive back football, this is the show for you. Our guest, first-round pick out of Tennessee State back in 2008 by the Arizona Cardinals. A two-time Pro Bowler. Let's keep it real. You should have added a few more Pro Bowls on his accolades, but they only gave him credit for two. But he was a Pro Bowler throughout his career. 12-year NFL vet. One of the best teammates I've been around. One of the best athletic individuals I've been around. Dominique Rogers-Cromartie is joining us here. All Things Covered. Pat P. Brian McFadden, DRC is what we all call him. DRC, how you doing?
What's up, Mike? Man, I'm just chilling, baby.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, I've been wanting to get you on. We finally got you on. There's so much we can tap into with you throughout your outstanding career. Yes, but let's go ahead and start in the beginning. Just like me, growing up in an athletic family, you also grew up around a lot of athletes. Ooh. Tell us about some of the background and having two cousins that played in the National Football League, one of my former college teammates, Antonio Cromartie, and now cornerback for the Cardinals. For the Indianapolis Colts, Isaiah Rogers. Man, tell us about, how was it growing up with so many outstanding, talented individuals around you, all being from the same family?
Man, great competition. You know, I think that what gave me my edge. You know what I mean? I was a smaller guy going through school, went through a small school. But what I had over a lot of people, I had a lot of heart.
Yeah.
You know, and that is coming from within the family. Growing up, I only hung around family. I had certain friends that I grew up with, but mainly we had another boy cousin that was older than me, man. So when I go out there and we play throw him up, bust him up, I was always the youngest. So
boy say throw him up, bust him up. I ain't heard that in a long time.
Throw him up, bust him up, man. For those of you who don't know what that is, you throw the football up, whoever catches, you got to try to run before you get tackled or touch.
No question. You got to try to bust him up.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, man, it's great. And then you always had them arguments. Cause I'm faster than you. Cause I'm better than you. Like to this day, I tell all of them, man. I don't care how old I'm getting. Y'all ain't gonna. I'm never gonna let y'all beat me in nothing. You know what I mean?
Well, let me ask you this question then.
Hey, Mike, man, I finally lost the race, Mike, man.
Who beat you,
man? But little Isaiah finally got me.
But he beat. Okay, so I was gonna ask you this question. Matter of fact, when is y'all race?
Right now we 2-1. He got me twice. I got him once. The last time we raced was like a couple months ago.
And he got you.
He got me. It was downtown. We both barefooted outside. You know, he got rougher feet than me, so I ain't really grip the ground.
Wait a minute. Y'all was racing on concrete or grass?
On concrete.
Bare feet. And he got you. How bad did he beat you?
Oh, no. He badly. I don't know. I think I won because
it was that close.
It was that close where I was running to.
Okay.
See, they told me we ran into the end of the car, but he said we were running to the street light. So I pulled up at the car, and I felt like I was in front of him.
Oh, so you didn't finish the race, and he got you at the end.
But I thought we were running a certain period. I told him, like, man, I'm almost 40, man. I ain't running nothing over 40.
Exactly. You're not supposed to run nothing under 40. But let me ask you this question, because I saw you when you was in your prime.
Oh, man.
In your prime, you think Isaiah can hang with you in your prime?
That man ain't even close. It ain't close. I'm telling you, I say, man, I'm right now, I'm hanging with you. You barely beat me right now.
Exactly.
15 years ago, it ain't even close. But he got that makeup speed. Like he can, once he hit it, he coming. I got that right now speed. So if I get you out the blocks right now, start running.
I see him out there cutting up, and you do a great job supporting him as well.
Yes,
I know guys who follow you on social media. They've seen you rocking Isaiah's jersey, man, supporting him. He's doing a real good job. You know, taking advantage of the opportunities, becoming a big time playmaker. Also, a good returner as well.
Yeah,
he do that. He get that football in his hand, he might take it to the yard. So, man, shout out to Isaiah Rogers and the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, DRC, you're a Florida boy. You grew up in Florida, you know, played high school football in Florida. But tell us, how did you end up going to Tennessee State?
Man, when I was younger, you know, I'm from Bradenton, Florida. Mm-hmm. And I spent the first 8 years going to the eighth grade. And then my ninth grade year, my mom would just ship me off to Orlando to my daddy. Because at the time, you know, my daddy was a college coach for over 20 years. Now he's mm-hmm. an athlete at Polk State University. And she was like, man, if you want to play sports, your father's into sports. He's a college coach. He going to show you the ropes.
Yeah.
Sitting in Orlando. Now, I told you I was undersized in high school. So I mm-hmm. went to Edgewater High. If you know anything about Edgewater High.
It's some dogs.
We go to state area for football.
It's some dogs out there.
Me being a new guy, you know what I mean? They really didn't know me. So I mm-hmm. didn't get on the field there till my last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm talking about, but I always played varsity from a young man on up. But I was just small, kind of like a little practice. But in practice, I had Mike Stevens Walker and all them guys. Donnie Malone, Troy Watson. I'll never forget going there one-on-ones. They was always bigger than me. But uh-huh. I gave them everything I had in practice. You know,
Jed, how big were you in high school?
I was about 5'4", like when I left high school. I had a growth spurt my junior year. That's what put me over the edge.
Okay.
Like, on my basketball, football pitch, I'm always the shortest guy on the team. Uh-huh. And then in my junior year, when I left Orlando, because I wasn't playing, like, just lead a game in the middle of the game and go to the concession stand and get a hot dog and come back and watch the game on the bench. Because I knew I went.
Wait a minute. Hold on. You would leave the bench in your uniform. Go to the concession stand and get a hot dog and return to the bench?
Yeah, because I knew I wasn't getting in. But one thing about my daddy, bro, he wouldn't let me quit. And that's what I expect most about him. Because I'm like, man, I'm not going to get in. They got guys both ways. And I ain't going to – them guys are good. Mm-hmm. But they ain't know how good I was. Like, in practice, man, I was locking up. So then when I go home, I go back. Now I'm 6 foot. I grew like 6 inches in one summer.
You went from 5'4" in one summer to 6 foot.
Yeah, I grew 6 inches in one summer.
Wow.
So when I went back home, I went to a smaller school that just been open for about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still under the radar. And there, I led the county. I thought I led the state of Florida in receiving yards, and I was playing receiver.
Yeah.
I still had a couple of interceptions. I was going both ways, but, you know, I didn't have – we weren't good. We didn't make the playoffs or nothing like that.
So what was the name of that school?
Lakewood Ranch High.
Okay, Lakewood. Gotcha.
Yeah, so, man, after that, my dad was like, when he was coaching at Bethune-Cookman, the football coach, that's my uncle, he was a football coach at Bethune-Cookman. He was mm-hmm. a coordinator at Tennessee State.
Gotcha.
And he was like, man, I'm gonna come down and watch y'all All-Star game. If I like you, I'll offer you. Man, I was hot because, mind you not, I'm in the city. I told you, I led the city in receiving yards, intercepts, I'm locking down. I ain't get into like the third quarter of the All-Star game. So I'm
wow.
Uh-huh. But the team that we played had a running back that was committed to like Georgia. Fast. Uh-huh. 4-3, he broke.
You remember his name?
Terrence Jones.
Okay.
Went to Booker High School. Uh-huh. And he broke. And I tell you, I went and got him from like 20 yards. And the coach told me, that's the only play I had made. He said, uh-huh. man, I ain't got no more. All I know is you tall and you can run. He said, I can work with that.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I got to TSU, man. That's the only thing I had. I didn't have no scholarships, no offers. I said,
wow.
I'm going to take advantage of it. That
no
way
question. I mean, that's a telling sign for, you know, some of the high school prospects that tap into our show that might not be a four-star kid, five-star, even a three-star. You know what I mean? Just take advantage of the opportunity when you get that opportunity because you never know who's watching.
Right.
You never know who's watching. So, man, that's a telling testament about the determination you had and the effort. Because if you don't go and hawk down the running back, you don't get the offer to Tennessee State, and you might not be the 12-year vet, NFL vet, that you became because of that hustle. And talking about Tennessee State, most people might not know this, and this blew my mind as well. You were the last FCS defensive player selected in the first round, which was in 2008. Since then, there haven't been an FCS player go first round. What more can be done to highlight FCS players and specifically HBCU players?
You know, I think they started on the right way. This year, they started the HBCU Combine.
And you attended that, correct?
Yes, I attended. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? For the most part, it was good. The only thing I didn't like is the guys had them ran in the cold. That's the only thing I didn't like.
It was outside?
It was outside.
Yeah, and
It was cold. It was about 30 degrees.
Yeah. But, you're not going to get no good time in that type of weather.
Right. But other than that, man, ran well, everybody spoke well. They had opportunities to meet with teams and stuff. Everybody got a good look. I think that's a step in the right direction because a lot of times we are overlooked because we don't play that quality of players week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
But we is definitely players in the HBCUs.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I mean, I played with a lot, played against a lot in National Football League, and of course, you know as well. So there, it's just about the spotlight, just getting a chance. Yeah, and I do agree with you. They're doing things that try to improve the opportunities by having an HBCU combine. But get this, at the NFL combine, there were only 5 HBCU guys that got an invite. Clearly, they can be more than 5. You know what I mean? It should be more than 5, and hopefully they improve and make some changes to be able to allow more HBCUs to get on that stage, which is the NFL combine. So DRC, for you, you go to Tennessee State, outstanding career. Now there's rumors about DRC, Dominic Rogers Cromartie. This could be an NFL-like player. He could be an NFL defensive back. For you, how crucial was the pre-draft process? And when did you realize, like, yo, man, I got a chance of going pretty high?
Not pretty high, but I promise you, you can ask anybody that went to Tennessee State that played with me, or every person on, even the people on campus, I knew I was going to the NFL when I first got there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I used to say. Like, they'd be like, man, they always think I'm crazy. I said, no, I'm just passing through. I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm just here for a short period of time, because I'll never forget. I left my senior year, and I went up there during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they rolled in school, but I was doing 7-on-7 with the guys, and we was playing against Vanderbilt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when I go over there, when I get my opportunity, anybody, man, I every time I got in, I got a pick. But I was jumping routes, and in my head, I'm like, okay, this Vanderbilt, these TSU guys, they fast, but shoot, I'm right here with them as a senior in high school. So in my mind, I got a chance. And then I go in that summer camp. It got to a point where Coach was counting how many picks Dominique gonna get today. Because I wasn't starting. I was the last recruit. Mind you, now I wasn't no top recruit. That's why I wear number 45. That's why 45 dear to me. Because when I got there,
that's what they gave you.
When the top recruit don't get the number, they reach you in the third cold basket and they throw you a jersey. So I threw it back to the coach. I said, nah. He was like, oh, they're gonna hear you. You're gonna wear what we give you. Man, anybody tell you, my shoulder pad was out here. I had the cleats that come up to you. The sharks, man, listen, I was out there looking stank. I know the quarterback in the head like, man, we finna go at 45, them big old shoulder pad. Hey, Mike, man, I was picking them apart, Mike, man.
That's why you wear number 45?
Yeah, man, because they disrespected me and gave it to me. So I said,
they just throw you some of my dirty clothes hamper, you said? They're just here.
Yeah, just here, just get there, man. I said, okay, I'm going to keep it. I'm going to wear it, too.
But you know, and we all know this, growing up playing football, when you pretty good, you going to pick your number. They're going to be like, what number you want? You know what I mean? Right. So I understand where you're coming from, because, yeah, I see some guys get their own jerseys, too. Be like, hey, man, you going to wear this number. This is what you're going to wear. You know, but you were a late recruit, a late add-on to the class. But, man, that 45 is super significant for you now. Sir. Yeah. So you say you went through the process early on. You really saw you can ball at this level. So when did you eventually get into the starting lineup to be able to showcase who you were as a player?
Man, if they burnt my red shirt, I was the only freshman to travel. Mm-hmm. So, but I wasn't no true freshman until the first game, man. The last quarter, they threw me in and burnt my red shirt.
Wow.
And 2 corners got hurt. And then 2 more got hurt in practice. So I had to start week 2.
Yeah.
So I had to start. So I never forget, Cletus Gordon, San Diego Chargers, he was playing at Jackson State University. He went, I think he went maybe 4th or 5th round.
Yeah.
Ran 4-3. The first play, Matt, up top, poke chop. He's going, but he took me on about a 40-yard bomb. They tried me. You know what I mean? I was nervous. I was right there. Like, I missed the ball. We both fell. Like, I come up on the side, man, all you hear. I told y'all he wasn't ready.
Yeah.
It was on BET. You remember Black College? BET.
Yeah.
So we driving. Now I'm getting in the game. I got a couple pass breakups. Now I'm feeling myself. 4th quarter, I never forget. It's 7-7. They going down. 1 minute left to win the game. Man, they came over there, ran a 3-step. I picked that thing off and took it back
forth.
Everybody, I told y'all that shit was wrong. I told you he was hey, and ever since then, I ain't never looked back. I had a chip on my shoulder ever since then. Yeah, man. In 4 years, though, I kept that same mindset that I'm going to be so good, they're going to remember me. They're going to remember for 4-5. But I came in and they was trying me. But y'all going to remember me. Don't, when I leave here, y'all going to remember 4-5. That's all I did, man.
Hey, that's the dope story, man, because it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But you know what? One thing about you, your mindset never deterred. It stayed the course. It stayed, you stayed focused. You stayed dialed in and you stayed with that chip on your shoulder. And that chip got bigger and bigger. Even when you started making plays, you know, sometimes DRC people can get complacent, can start feeling themselves like I made it. My footprints are already in the ground. But no, you want to create more footprints. And one thing I can say about this is, you know, you went to the Senior Bowl, balled out. The Senior Bowl. You were Senior Bowl MVP, if I'm not mistaken, right? Senior Bowl MVP. So now people are starting to really know who Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is. But what solidified that first round grade is when you went to Indy and you ran that. Now, some people say you ran 4.33. Some people say 4.31. Some people say 4.28. But did you have any doubt in your mind you were going to clock?
Would you say? I'm going to tell you what it was. The first time I ran a 4.2 easy because people in the hands, they had me clocked with the hand clock at 4.23. So I'm talking about telling me, like, I got you at 4.23. I got you at 4.25. But the second time I ran, I already knew because you know how you go back to your phone, people already text you. Boy, you just ran a whoop, whoop, whoop.
Yeah.
So that second time I ran like a 4.37 and they averaged it out. I didn't run though. If you could look at me when I came out, I just came out and was just like,
you were cruising because you had already ran the fast time the first time.
Right. So I ain't got to go beat that time. Like, man.
So Jit, you cruise a 4.37?
Yeah. I wake up and run 4.3s. that just hit me. Mike.
Hey, I'm trying. Hey, listen, listeners and viewers, this man ain't joking. When he was at Tom Shaw, DRC and Chris Johnson was running 4.4s with 20-pound weight vests on.
Yep.
That's a true story.
Yes, sir.
And see, we had C. Johnson on the show some months ago. He said he was way faster than you, too, by the way.
No, sir. We 1-1. He won't never give me another race.
He won't give you another one?
No. Come. I mean, it was that time I saw 19 and all them boys. They better on Chris Johnson. Hey, Mike, I beat him the first week. That second one, I ain't gonna lie to you, Mike. Man, he looked at me. I said, he fast for real. He fast for real.
Hey, Jed, is he the fastest you ever seen?
Yeah, I ain't gonna lie to you, Mike, man. Ain't too many people can look at me in a race now. Ain't too many people do that now. You got to be running.
He looked at you to the side while he was in front of you.
Man, he looked at me while he was in front of me. Yeah, he did. I ain't gonna lie to you. Hurt my heart. That's why every chance I got him, I played him, man. I wanted to run him down. I hope he break.
Oh, you remember we played him in 2009 in Tennessee. He broke. And you were trying to go get him.
I would laugh because I thought Carlos had an angle.
Los ain't have no angle. It wasn't no angle created when Chris Johnson broke. It wasn't no angle. Hey, that head, but your head went back. I just stopped running because I knew I ain't had a chance. I said, DRC trying to go get him. Look at these boys.
Yeah, but I would laugh because he bit that cone on Los, man. I said, I don't allow.
Bad. One of the fastest to do it. But yeah, man, DRC, when these stories are not, just adding on to these stories. These are legit. These are facts. This man was super fast. And heck, he just raced Isaiah Rodgers, who one of the fastest guys in the league. And you said he barely beat you. Because you stopped at the beginning of the car, bare feet in the streets.
Yes, sir.
In the streets. So now let's fast forward to draft day. Arizona took you in the first round. Your rookie season, you take off. Similar to what you did at Tennessee State when you first jumped on the scene. You know what I mean? Rookie year, balling. Team balling, playoffs. You had two interceptions. I think in the postseason play, man, starting to really gradually become one of the best defenders in the secondary. And when you look at that playoff run, and then I don't want to bring this up, DSC, but I got to bring up the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we play it all later, Mike, right?
Yes, sir. The Super Bowl, one of the more iconic passes and receptions in Super Bowl history.
Yeah.
What was your viewpoint of that play with Santonio? And did you think he had an opportunity? Number one, Big Ben being able to have the elevation on the football to surpass, I think, Ralph Brown.
Me, Ralph Brown, and Francisco.
Three guys for the drop where it dropped. Did you think that he had an opportunity to complete that pass?
No, man, but the crazy thing about it, Mike, man, is Trail was trying to tell me we're coming. Because on third down, they ran the same play.
To the opposite side.
Came back on the other side, but just motioned to it and ran a see. I think they game planned. Yeah, I think I commend y'all coach because y'all did a great job of game planning. Mm-hmm. They knew I was a jumping, baiting cornerback.
Yeah.
So we in cover four. They came out in a bunch. Number one ran a curl. Mm-hmm. Somebody ran the corner and somebody ran to the flat.
The flat. You took the flats.
I took the flats because it's in the goal line. So I jumped in it. And if you don't know nothing about cover four, the safety's inside out. So he's out leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Man.
So the safety was out leverage. So he had. Yeah, man. Yep. It came over the emotion to the bunch. And I knew soon as that flat came, he took a slight peek over there and I just jumped it. And yep. I seen that ball. And I knew in my head, I said, man, it's either a touchdown is going out of bounds. I turned around. You can see it in the picture. I'm in the picture like, dang.
Yep.
They just told me. He just told me. But in goal line, they should know me. If you put something in front of me, I'm gone.
You're going to take that cheese.
Now I'm going to take that cheese every time. Hey, man, I'm going to take it every time, Mike.
Hey, but think about this, though, Jit. How many times you took the cheese and made a play?
Is that what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Kind of give and take with it, man, the good and bad.
Hey, and it's funny for me. I didn't realize they ran the same play the first time until I actually watched the play over. And I'm like, dang, they ran the same play, but the opposite side. But they motioned to it. They got to it a different way instead of lining up in the formation.
Adam, he just missed the throw.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, he had him.
Yep. But great year for Arizona. Great year for you as a rookie. You know, showed that they drafted the right guy.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
The following year, mm-hmm. I come to Arizona, 2009. Yeah. I go out. I was a fan of DRC before I even knew who DRC was. Because I'm a fan of good cornerback play, and I'm flying all anybody from Florida, I'm a rock with anyway. So I go out to Arizona.
Yeah, sure.
We got a few Florida boys out there, me, DIC, Antrell Rowe. We hang it tight. But I come out there, I didn't just bring my helmet and my shoulder pads, I brought the card deck.
Yeah, he bought the card deck.
I bought the card deck. And if you guys know what I'm talking about, Blu-ray. Blu-ray.
Yes.
I come out to Arizona, man. I brought the Blu-ray game to the Cardinals, and that was a way for us to fraternize.
Yep.
And have fun, cuss each other out, but we will have fun. Man, you have any, give me some of your favorite Blu-ray moments, man, back in 2009, man, when I got out there with all you guys.
Yeah, I just want to first say appreciate you for bringing that, because to this day, man, we still have Blu-ray parties, man.
Yes, sir.
I fly to Atlanta just to boo somebody, man.
And you need to hurry up and get here, too. I can boo you. I owe you one. I owe you one.
Yes, sir, man. So I appreciate you for showing me that, because I've been playing that ever since, man. But hey, B Mike, you know a story I'm gonna tell. If I see him, I got to get him, B Mike. and we call this man here the Riverboat Gambler.
No question.
And Jay Feely.
Jay Feely.
Man, we playing Blu-ray, man. Jay Feely must have hit me for 30,000. Now listen, you don't know anything about our circle. You know what I'm saying? Like you say, it's the way to get to hang with each other, just fellowship and stuff like that. But one thing about us, we is not 100% collector.
We're going to cut a deal. I'm going to cut you a deal.
You hit me for $30,000, I'm going to cut you a good deal. Payment right now, I'm going to cut you a sweeter deal. One thing about Jay Feely, boy, he ain't cutting nobody no deal. He want all his money up. Hey, man, I came to lock him down that day. I'm going to fight everybody.
Hey, listen. Jit came into the locker room the next day with a brown bag. They didn't want to see. He didn't want to speak to nobody. He said, "Mac, don't say that to me today. Today." I said, "What's in the bag?" Hey, but the crazy part about Jay Feely told us. He said, "Listen, I'm gonna tell y'all right now. Mm-hmm. I don't give no deals. And I don't want no deals." Like, Jay Feely, we teammates, man. What you talking about? Man, I'm gonna cut you a deal. He said, "No, I'm 100% collector. So whatever y'all owe me, I want it all." So at that game right there with DRC talking about, we had already ran out of cash, so we playing with markers. So what we do was we had ball up a piece of paper. I mean, write your number on the paper along with what you owe in the pot.
Right.
So, man, at the end of the day, I'm like, boy, I hope Jay Feely ain't got my number. Hey, hey. Well, one thing you did though, Jay, you remember you paid him that 30K.
I paid
you. You say, what we doing today, y'all? We right back at it.
Right back at it.
I want to say you're going to bounce back, and he bounced back. But yeah, Jay Feely. Jay, don't let the position fool you. You don't want to get in the Blu-ray game with Jay Feely.
Mm-mm. You better know what you're doing. You better know who you're playing with.
Jay Feely said, I'm in blind. Before we see what the dealer flipped, that man said, I'm in. He said, what the freak you doing, Jay? What you know? Y'all and got all Trump.
They had me on that track.
And boo you.
They booed me for no reason, too. They were booing me like they ain't know me. That would hurt my heart. We teammates, and they were booing me like they, but they ain't even know me.
Hey, they kept booing. The pot, 12,000. Who got booed? DRC. Dang, DRC. The pot, 8,000. Who got booed? DRC.
don't let Mac Man fool y'all out there. If y'all play Blu-ray, this how he going to try to get you. He going to look at you and say, hey, now, I ain't trying to boo you, but I got to boo you. He know he booed me on purpose. He want to keep that money out there.
Keep that money on the track. Hey, we got to say, when you get in that track, boy, you can't get off.
No, you can't get off that track.
Jay, what's the biggest pot you'd have been around? You think playing Blu-ray?
Oh, man. Shoot. When me and Trail was in New York with JPP, when people don't really, they just start not.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel like they got a lot of money.
Uh-huh. Them the ones you want. When they feel like they got more money than they can lose.
Well, listen, I had bought my brother to the boo game, but me and him both went home lovely.
Woo. Y'all boy took advantage of JPP.
I don't want to put him out there, but it got so bad, the man wife had them called us and said, hey, don't invite my husband over there no more.
What you walked away with?
Oh, man, I walked away with probably about 70. My little brother walked away with about 20.
Oh.
Yeah, it get ugly over there.
Oh, them Blu-ray nights, man. Either you're going to be sweating or you're going to be feeling good.
You're going to be
ain't no in-between. Ain't no in-between. It's going to be sweating or you can walk away feeling good or you can walk away like your stomach hurting, ready to throw up. Everything. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So let's transition to 2011. You get traded to the Eagles. Training camp, Vince Young called you guys the dream team. I mean, you look at some of the names, Vince Young, yourself, Ronnie Brown, Jason Babin, Nnamdi Asamoah. I mean, star after star after star. Yeah. And my producer, Eric, he's a big-time Eagles fan. So this is near dear to him. But why did that group fail to live up to the hype?
And we had Eric. We even had Zante.
Zant. Y'all had Zant too.
Yeah, Trent Cole, Deshaun Jackson, Jermaine Macklin, Brent,
and Vic, right?
And McCoy,
and Shady.
Yeah.
And Jason Peters.
Yeah.
What happened?
But I think it was so much going on in the locker room, as far as front office, the players, that it never got right. Because I think the Nnamdi sign. Like threw a lot of people for a loop. When I first got there, it was just me and Azant, and he breaking me down, telling who. And then when Nnamdi came, now it's like we got three outside corners. What do we do?
Exactly.
And none of them.
Y'all really didn't need Nnamdi.
No, that's what I'm saying. They kind of threw everything for a loop, and then now we trying to figure out who's playing inside. You know, Azant ain't going inside. He tell you that. He tell you that. Hey, I ain't gonna lie to you, but man, I thought I was shot at.
Yeah,
nah, Dow got me.
Oh yeah, Dow. You know he, another Florida boy. You know. Yeah. Some of y'all boys in Florida be throwing off, boy. Y'all gonna say whatever y'all want to say, whatever y'all want to say. It don't matter who around, it's gonna be said.
Hey, he throw it off, man. He throw it off, man. But when we got them, now they looking at me. Cause you going inside, I'm looking at that. You know, I'm the young guy. Yeah. I'm cool, but in my head, I ain't cool with it.
Yeah, because you always been an outside guy.
Yeah, I'm like, man, I'm 6'2", man. I'm not going to go ahead and guard these little dudes in here.
No question.
So, man, but it never gelled. But, and then we fired our defensive coordinator within the first, 4 weeks? Yeah. And we were still a top 7 defense.
Mm-hmm.
But they was looking for somebody to blame. And it was just so much going on between coaches and the players that it just never got right.
Yeah.
It just never got right.
Man, I forgot. Yeah, Jeremy Macklin, who's still young in his career, prime years. Deshaun, Shady McCoy. Did y'all even make the playoffs that year?
No, Giants. I think that's your Giants. Oh, Giants won the Super Bowl.
Wow. What could have been if things would have been handled the right way? Who was that safety?
We had Nate Allen and Kurt Coleman.
Yeah, y'all finished 8-8 that year. 500. Yep. That's what it was. 8-8.
And wow. 9-7 to get to the playoffs.
And got in there and caught fire at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, 2013, yeah. I say you joined a more formidable dream team with Peyton Manning. That year, he dropped 55 touchdowns. You guys went on to Super Bowl 48 against the Seattle Seahawks. But what went wrong that night?
Man, they still scoring on us night, man.
What happened, Jit?
What's going on, man? They came out the first play. I said, oh, yeah, they're going to be a long night here, man.
Yeah, the first play was the safety, right? Was that the safety?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was cold. It was raining. But I'm not going to. I think we really weren't prepared because, mm-hmm. but it didn't matter who Seattle played that night.
They was going to beat them.
They were going to beat them. I didn't care who they played.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Electric fine over there. Yeah. Like I'm looking at their sideline. I'm looking at the energy. They were just electric. They just wanted it way more. Uh-huh. And I think it was like quicksand for us. Once one thing went wrong, another. And the harder we fought, the more we saw. Yeah.
And so what sealed the deal for them when Percy Harvin took that kickoff back? It was
straight halftime. Yeah. Put a dagger in us, yeah. And we were missing a few key players. You know what I mean? Didn't have no Vaughn, which makes a difference. No Chris Harris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't matter. It didn't matter. Them boys was on fire.
Yeah.
They had backup receivers coming in catching on us.
No question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Peyton Manning couldn't get anything going against that defense, that Legion of Boom.
Not that night. And they were hitting, too. They were out there.
And talking about the Broncos 2013, you had a chance to be teammates with Demaryius Thomas. You know, going against him week in and week out in practice. Demaryius no longer here, you know, died a few months ago, but how special of a person and player was he?
Man, to be that size and to pick him up and put him down how he did and the way he shielded his body, man, like, I only wanted to go against him in one-on-ones, you know, him, Deck, Andre, especially mm-hmm. with going, man. So I always pride myself with just whenever he go up there, I got to go up there because mm-hmm. I wanted, he was going to bring it out, man. And me and him always went back and forth to where, because I was only there 1 year, but man, all the way up until he passed, bro, like, bro would always hit me up just on some random stuff, like, man, dude, I see what's up, man. You a wild dude, man. What you doing? Just I knew it real, because he always, like I always tell people, man, if you leave a team or leave, and then in that offseason, if somebody on that team hits you up, man, they really mess with you like
no
that.
Question.
Man.
No question. No question.
And we always stayed in contact, man. That's why I knew he was going through what he was going through, because his people had reached out to me like, man, you need to holler at Demaryius. You know, he's on the down end, woo-woo. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The love was always there, man. He's a great guy, great teammate, man. And on and off the field, it was always love with us, man. Yeah. A lot of trash, but it was always love.
No question. He will forever be missed. You know, yes. Broncos legend, Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket legend, man. Great wide receiver, as you mentioned, with the size and speed. Had an outstanding career and definitely had a great year in 2013. The following year, as you mentioned, you was only in Denver 1 year. You linked up with the Giants. November 23rd, 2014, you were there to witness one of the memorable plays in NFL history. Yes, sir, the catch. What was your vantage point of the catch, and what were your thoughts when you saw it?
That's one of them wild moments, like your whole, you like, ooh, what the, wow. Because you always knew he was special. Because mm-hmm. in practice, we like doing little tricks and stuff. When you go on one-on-one, he always trying to one-hand you, do some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
But to see it in a game against a pass interference like that on that stage, I think it was a Monday or Sunday night football. Something, I know it was a nighttime game.
Yeah, man, I think it was Sunday night.
Yeah, man, that thing was spectacular, man. Like, to see it in person, like, you look at it like, nah, he ain't just do that. I know, nah. Y'all playing with me. But
yeah,
that was special, man. That was a great catch. A great catch.
One of the best regular season catches I think we will ever see.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, it was no luck involved.
Right.
You know what I mean? We've seen him do that routinely in drills, like you said. He would try to practice that and catch one-hand passes against you guys while being covered. So it was no luck involved. It's nothing but pure skill, a skill that he has, and a lot of us don't have, because we can't do it. You know what I mean? But looking at what Odell did that night, and then eventually you guys had success getting to the playoffs, then the picture of the boat trip surfaces before you guys take on the Green Bay Packers. Do you think the media made too big of a deal of the boat
pick
picture?
Yeah, because you know it. you know, as a player, man, when you get some time off, you're gonna take that time off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to think who you're dealing with. You got Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard. These still are young men, like young guys. They not at our age, but we understand you got to move mindful. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Certain things in the season you can and cannot post.
Yeah.
Not because, you know what I'm saying, you're afraid to live, but it's just when you see, you know, it's certain things you do. See, I think they blew it up. They didn't realize, man, them still were young guys. They didn't know no better. They were just hanging out.
And also too, Jit, if you guys win, that's no story.
That's no story at all.
That's the biggest part to that whole picture and that event. If you win, ain't no story. Because like when we played you guys in the Super Bowl in Tampa, the night before we stayed up all night playing Boo Ray.
Right.
But we win, it ain't a big story. If we lost and someone found out, well, the Steelers, most of the defensive guys was up all night playing cards, heck, that'd have been a huge story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when you play a game professionally as an adult, anytime you lose, they're looking for ways to criticize, to be critical about why you lost or what happened.
Right.
And that just happened at the wrong time.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So, and because of that, you know, heck, the Giants haven't had success since then. Why do you think they've been struggling so much in recent years?
Man, they're doing a lot of with the offensive, the coaches, a lot of changes. You know, guys coming in, not gelling. You
yep.
know, then your Eli leave. You know, mm-hmm. that's face them shoes. Especially you know how it is coming in as a young quarterback. Not majority of them are gonna come in and be your Joe Burrows and stuff like that. Some of them are gonna take time. They uh-huh. need to go. You know what I mean? I think they should have left Eli on for a little bit to train him a little bit more. You know what I mean? Or just help guide him along the way, or bring somebody in that can help push the young guy. You mm-hmm. know, I think it's gotta do a better job. I see that they want to start over, go younger. Not yeah. then. Building years, but they're gonna have to stick with it and build. You can't keep changing it just because it don't work.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing a lot of organizations don't get, DRC. When you bring in young guys that you believe have an opportunity of playing significant time, they need to be able to learn from guys who have done it before.
Right.
That's
right.
the thing. You know what I mean? You can't have a situation where you got the blind trying to lead the blind. You're not gonna go anywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. I say this all the time. You know, have you ever seen two individuals who can't see try to cross the street without a stick? an accident gonna happen. You
right,
gotta have someone
right.
that can be their eyes and show them this is how you do it, this is what you're supposed to do, this is when you're supposed to do it. So when that person is long gone, now that the young player becomes an older player, now he understands I was taught and learned how to do it from someone who's done it the right way. And that's a domino effect. You have that same thing go through the entire organization. That's why yep. so many organizations fall short of being consistent and being competitive, because they oftentimes remove some of the older ones too soon.
Right. Too soon.
Too soon. Think about this prime example. Pat Mahomes had an right. opportunity to learn from a serviceable vet, Alex mm-hmm. Smith. They didn't
right.
throw him into that fire, but they allowed him to learn. And then Alex Smith, you go your separate way. Now Pat Mahomes, you got the car keys.
Right.
You know, and at that position, you cannot throw a guy in that fire too soon, because you may stunt his growth. He might not be, he might never be able to get out his own way.
Right. There you go. There
yeah.
you go. There you go.
And so let's transition. What you got?
Nah, I said you said something then, though. You might stunt his own growth, because you get thrown in that fire, man, and you don't have success. If you ain't the guy that can come out of that funk, or you mentally strong, yeah, that guy. They don't believe. They know that they good, but they don't believe they good.
Exactly.
See, when I tell my little cousin, I say, man, the difference between me, I didn't care if Odell line up in front of me or Joe line up in front of me. I got to treat you the same. Because mm-hmm. the more respect, you already want to battle in my mind.
Yep.
So I said, you're going to have to, like, people are afraid that for some reason when those spotlights come on, you're afraid to get beat. Mm-hmm. I was never afraid to beat. You beat me, you're going to have to beat me again. And again, mm-hmm. but I promise you, I'm not gonna be afraid. I'm gonna take my chance.
Yeah, and that's why you were the player that you were. And talking about taking chances, 30 career picks, 7 pick sixes, 7 career touchdowns. Was taking chances the most important part to your game and the success that you had?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Cause, you know, I asked when I got to Philly, I asked Asante, I said, man, because I'm not going to lie, at HBCU, we don't watch film the right way, so I never knew how to watch film. Mm-hmm. So when I still didn't just watch film like that because I never knew how. So I just play off instinct. It's me and you. Like, that's why I love man. That's why I wasn't that good at in zone like that. I was good, yeah. But I was great because if I see it, I'm gone. I'm coming at my zone. You know what I mean? I was a man-to-man guy, but I learned, I started to say, man, I watch third downs and second and long. That's the only film I watch. And he said, no matter how you dress it up, if I see it on film, you put it in front of me, I'm taking that chance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because them, you got to have it down. And then, so that's what I started doing, man. I just started watching third down, like third and short. That's why I know on third and short, sometimes they most, I know he's going to run this little slant whip. Like, that's why I was so good at guarding. Like, if you ever read the article that they wrote on Cole Beasley, he said he hate playing me because he can't get open on me because I studied his foot. It's certain times when he run that over, mm-hmm. when he comes closer, he going to do a feet a certain way. When he run that whip route, he do a feet a certain way. And I picked up on him.
Break down, Jit, for our listeners who might not know what a whip route is. What is a whip route?
Whip route is when you come off the ball, you go in, and you whip out.
Yep.
You know? And with him, he do a feet a certain way. And then I go into thinking to myself, I watched a lot of whip routes just on other people. And I'm saying, like, how they keep getting beat? Mm-hmm. Corners, we too anxious. You're going to have to come across my face. And then I looked at where every whip route was thrown. It's thrown on the other hands. I got makeup speed. So when you cross my face, I'm still let you take two more steps before I even take off over there. Mm. And then I'm not going to run this way. I'm going to run behind you. So if you do cut back, you're going to have to run into me.
Run
so
right into you.
Yeah, I started studying the whip route, man. That's why he could never get me on that no more. He probably got me after that. I just studied the whip route. Because I be watching the game today, like, I see it set up. But the one thing I like about the younger guys, like the Jeffersons and the boy from the Bengals, the Chases, I like the athletic ability. But the one thing that corner that they gonna help out for a corner like me, uh-huh. they do a lot of telltale.
Yeah, if playing basketball.
They play a lot of basketball. There you go, and that I say, oh yeah, yeah. The game is evaluating, but as a corner, if you just hone it, see, you got to pay attention to the details. You hone into them details, yeah. It'll be a lot easier for you. It'll be a lot easier.
And that's growth, because I was out there in AZ with you your second year, and all you want to do was just run.
That's it. All I want to do, as long as I can run with you, I ain't worried about nothing else.
I don't care about what they're doing. They ain't worried. All I want to do is run. But when you started learning the game, took you to a whole nother level. And that's why you were able to play so long, along with taking care of your mind and your body, but understanding and knowing what to anticipate. And that's why you got a long toilet paper reel of highlights of you taking picks to the house, taking off passes, breaking off passes, picking up passes, and covering people always in the hip pocket. And right now, you know, you're still active. You're playing flag football, playing semi-pro. What's it like, you know, and do you feel like you're a target, Jit? Because now, anytime you step on the football field to play flag football, to play semi-pro, they know who you are, and they're trying to put you in the highlight reel. How has that experience been for you?
Man, it been great, man, because it keep me young, and it keep me fun, and it keep me competitive, man, because you know me, competitive, man. But I'm telling you, I remember one tournament, man, that man threw at nobody but me, and I'm saying in my head, he don't know who I am, but bro really try me at him. They be trying to put you on, especially in semi-pro. Oh, man, so I'm on kickoff. So, you know, and I'm at the five, too. So, as I'm running down.
Oh, you at the five. You're in the action.
I'm in the action. But, you know what I mean? I ain't played in a while, so I forgot that the five was in the action. I thought, you know, man. So, in my peripheral, I just see two people beelining over it. I'm like, is that coming from me? Man, every time I'm on the field, on the special, it's coming from me. Oh, man. It'd be fun, though, man. It'd be fun. But they'd be coming from me, man. Right, last week, dude ran a corner route on me, and I jumped it. Both of them went in the. But he came down with it. Mike, man, before I got on the sideline, I was already on Instagram, Mike, man. They already had me. Oh, they done got Pro Marty out here. They done play. I said, God, but they ain't give me no break.
They ain't going to give you no break. What's y'all record?
Oh, we 5-0 now. We running now.
Oh, y'all running. Okay.
Yeah,
right now. So I got a question for you, man. We just saw the Rams win the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. Against Cincinnati. We just saw Eric Weddle, who was away from the game for over 2 years. mm-hmm. got a call, came back, helped the Rams solidify that championship. With you still playing football, flag, and semi-pro, and also playing basketball as well, would you entertain a possibility of that type return to the NFL, given the opportunity?
I probably would, though, Mike, man. Shoot, I had the S I can play. So I definitely entertain him. Man, I can still pick him up, put him down now.
No question. Not to mention, shoot, they can put you at safety. I know you still can cover the post to post.
Oh, yeah, I can go hands to hand now, Mike, man. I can sit back there and roam.
Hey, you know what you should have did? You know what you should have did, Jet? When you and Isaiah was running barefoot in the streets, you should did somebody record it?
Yeah, they had it all on the internet. You ain't seen it?
I ain't see it. I gotta see that.
I gotta send it to you. You gonna say, oh yeah, you and Black. When I got out on him, boy, he caught me so fast it'll scare you. But see what I'm saying? Hey, but what I'm trying to tell him is, I'm like, man, I'm not really training like that. Like, you know, I hit the gym, do a little weight just to stay fit for myself, but I ain't really training to hold my speed and stuff like that. But
no question.
I get back to real training, yeah, I still play, man, because everything, one thing I like about this area, Florida, period, we always athletes. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's a competitor. So when guys come home from the Rat 9 shoot, like this weekend, they had an NFL 7-on-7 little thing. Deion can't do from the Jet. I think Weiss, the quarterback, he bought his team. Mm-hmm. Deion bought his team. Ray McLeod bought his team from the Steelers. It was about 8 teams out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm going against quarterback. You know, I'm pick six and everything. Like, I can still line up with whoever you consider the best.
No
question. You know what I mean? Now, can I give you 60 plays?
No.
Nah, I can't give you 60 plays.
you can give them third down. You can give them third downs.
I need third down all day. You know
no
what
question.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hey, before I let you go, DRC, we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. I'm going to hit you with rapid fire questions. I want your honest, unbiased answer. Well, you already answered the first one. Fastest player you ever played against, you said Chris Johnson. Is there another name you like to add to that?
It's only two receivers that ever made me open up and run for real. That was Randy Moss and Mike Wallace.
Oh, that Mike Wallace was a fast one.
Yeah, cool. I ain't gonna lie to you. He made me open up. The only two that made me really open up. When I say, hey, man, you gotta get on your horse, man.
you talk about Mike Wallace in Pittsburgh, huh?
Yes, sir.
That 17 when he had that Steeler helmet on, I tell people this all the time. Mike Wallace had an ugly, unorthodox style of running. It was like he was fighting himself.
For real.
Boy? Mm-hmm. Man.
Yes, sir.
Man, that Mike Wallace was fast, man. And if he actually knew how to run, mm-hmm. ain't no telling what he could run.
But you knew who was the fastest. Like, they made me open up. But the fastest receiver I ever played against didn't really make me open up because I knew he was going deep. Like, somebody ever taught him how to run routes? Yeah, something like Hay Bay or something like that.
Remember
he
got Darius Haywood Bay.
Yeah.
He played for the Raiders. He ran low 4.3 coming out of Maryland, if not mistaken. First round to the Raiders.
Yeah, but he transcended that on the field.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, too. You know, some guys fast 40 times, but not as fast on the field. But when you get them boys who fast on the field.
Right.
Favorite interception of your career?
Oh, Eli Manning against the Giants. I had them broke my hand. You know, so I had a cast.
Oh, that's Sunday night when you went over the top on the post route with the ugly cast on the thumb or finger.
Yeah, so Mike, man, I went top of his head, Mike, man.
Yes,
my favorite one, Mike, man.
That's favorite one. I was on the field, but I remember that.
So we was in man to man zero, and he ran a post corner post.
And I just knew and he had cool. nothing but green. He had nothing but grass.
He had nothing but grass.
When you made that play. I said, there's only a few people that can make that play in zero because, you know, in zero, we're supposed to be inside, but somehow or another, he got inside because he ran that post corner post.
Yep.
And most corners ain't got that type of speed that you had to be able to make up, and you went over top of them. We got to find a way, when we put this on YouTube, we got to find a way, hopefully get that highlight and let people see exactly this play because that was an unbelievable pick. It was like, When Eli threw the ball, and then the crazy part about it, you know how it is, Jet. When we in zero, we want the pressure to get there.
Man,
he's not supposed to hold the ball in his hand that long for him to run a post corner post in zero pressure. I think I got a stop route But when Eli threw it, I'm like, oh, shoot. And I ain't seen nobody but grass. So I'm like, oh. That's
yep.
I seen that boy Jake come. I said, ooh. That was one of them wild moments. I think I agree with you. I saw that one up close and personal. So I agree with you. A lot of people don't know this about you. You're a big time Game of Thrones fan. You love Game of Thrones, right? Yes, favorite character?
The midget. Easy.
Everybody said the midget.
No disrespect to certain people. Because he's a survivor, bro. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Whatever he gonna do, whatever he got to do, he gonna do it to survive. But not only that, man, bro, get on that liquor, he get a hanging knot, bro, gonna do it. You hear me?
Okay. Whatever, by any means necessary. Hey, how did you binge watched it? How fast did you get through everything?
I was a late bloomer. I just finished it when I was in Washington. That's how late I am. So I watched it all during like the last few years. Just watched the whole thing.
Tyrion Lannister. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a good one. All right. Best DB you played with?
Shoot, man, I played with a lot of them, man. I can't. Oh, let me see. Rufy.
You done play with Champ?
I done play with Champ, bro. I'm going to tell you why I'm going to say Champ. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? This man, when I got there, he had to be in his 13th or 14th year.
Yeah. It could have been 14 or 15.
I can't exaggerate this. I never seen a missed practice or OTA when I was there. Mm-hmm. And he never took no reps off. Like when defense was up, you know how your vets take off sometimes?
Yeah.
Never seen him do it. And that wowed me. Because, shoot, when I was in year two, you weren't okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Man, we had some practices. Hey, we go out to practice. Hey, TA say, Terrell Austin be like, hey, anybody see DRC? We're like, man. And he come late with his pad, no clothes on. He got his cleats in his hand, his pants in his head, helmet, shoulder pad in his head. This man go to the field to get dressed. Hell yeah, don't so you say nothing to me today. 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 Don't nobody say nothing to me today.
Well, I said that to me. I've been feeling the day. Leave me alone.
He done got booed right before practice. He bad. He ready to cuss everybody out. Cussing everybody like, shit, man, you can't do this, man, all the time. No, man, they don't understand me, man. They don't understand me.
Hey, and that one thing I appreciate about you, man. Couldn't nobody calm down, but you about the only one can come over there and talk to me. You couldn't come over there and talk to me now. So you better come correct.
Oh, no question. I was like, shit, man, come on, man. These people going to think you crazy. Man, F that, man. F that. No, they want to put everything on me. Like, shit, calm down. We in the game. What game that was? You went crazy.
Oh,
you
man.
You cussed everybody out.
That was Seattle.
That was Seattle. I was legit. What was wrong with you, man? You just told me you were good. We're going to have a good day. No, man, they don't want me to be great. They don't want me to be great. This man crazy, man. But I feel like I should have got two checks. Checks for playing and a check for watching over you, making sure you don't go crazy and grab somebody, cussing everybody. Every week we're going to be something with Jit, though. Every week.
Oh, yeah. Every week, mate, man.
This is a tough one right here for you. Most talented quarterback you played with.
Most talented. Ooh. It got to be Mike Vick. Mm. Yeah. It got to be.
Because you caught Mike in Philly when he still had that.
He still had it. But yeah. The thing that Mike Vick will start listening to the press. Mm. You quit trying to make them make you think you have to be a pocket quarterback. Do what got you where you at. Me and Brandon Marshall was gonna fight one time in a hot tub because of that.
in the hot tub.
Yeah, because when he came over to New York, you know, his first few games, he was dropping a few passes. So they hit, and he's trying to be a good guy. So, you know, I tried. I say, man, see, the problem was wrong with you is you forgot that you were crazy. I said, crazy, but you to be good. Now the media tell you, oh, he's a problem, he's this and that. So now you want to come over here and act all good, want to put your little collar shirt on, your little tie. I say, man, get mad sometime, man.
Get the edge back. Bring the edge back.
Yeah, bring the edge. That's all I was trying to do. He was like, that's not me no more. So I went to pushing that button, Mike, man. He don't got it. He threw it up in that hot tub, went to walking toward me, and Big Snacks had to get free up, man. Now that's the best right there. Where he at? Man,
that's who you want. Break that out of the field. And I can tell you, if Mike Vick played in today's era of quarterback play in his prime year, like, because you, like you say, they try to turn him into something that he wasn't. Now, a lot of people are embracing the athletic element that some quarterbacks have. If Mike Vick came into this league right now, man, who knows what he would have been able to do. Now, Grant, he still had a great career, but like you said, they tried to turn him into something that he wasn't. Best hooper in the NFL right now is who? And oh, by the way, you hoop a lot. You got games, but who you think is the best hooper? Oh, dang, that was fast.
Yeah, I ain't gotta think twice about that one.
Okay.
Like, man, I seen him we played in the All-Star game now. Uh-huh. It ain't too many people that can jump up there with me. Man, he jumping from, I thought he went and gave Jesus a high five one time.
He getting up like that?
Oh, and then he got the, and a little shot. I say, oh, he can play for real, but that remind me of his releases.
Exactly. At the line of scrimmage, it's like he playing basketball.
Yep.
Smooth. Mm-hmm. I heard he got some hell of a game. They say he can go. They say he can really go.
He can go, Mike, man.
Last question for you. All right.
Yes,
I'm going to give you three names, right? Three names, all same position. I want you to start one. You're going to have to start one. You're going to have to sit one, and you're going to have to cut the other.
Ooh, that's tough to cut.
Eli Manning, Kurt Warner, Peyton Manning. Start, sit, cut. Who are you starting?
I can tell you. Eli McDowell, I'm telling you, he cut right now. Not nothing against you, Eli. You know me and you had me in the locker room. We had some time. Now we all got good now.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start Eli. I'm going to cut Eli. I'm going to start Kurt Warner. And I'm going to bring in Peyton Manning off the bench.
You starting Kurt?
Yeah, I'm going to start Kurt.
Kurt was special out there, wasn't he?
Yes, I played that year we went to the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? I played with all three of them. Mm-hmm. But that Super Bowl, man, for him to be that age, man, the reason why I'm going to start him is because it's a long season.
Yeah.
When that backup come in, Kurt probably ain't going to get back in.
I see. I like what you're doing. I like your logic.
Yeah. Kurt probably get back in, but we ain't going to start paying medical here for perfectionist. I never forget, boy. Like, man, you know me, I don't like that cold now. Man, we in demo. No indoor facility. We out there.
Y'all outside?
Man, I think between Air Deck and Damaris and West Walker, remember that little West Walker?
Yes, sir.
They must have been dropped the ball every chance they got. This going through practice, now we in 7-on-7. Mm-hmm. Man, we started the whole day over with and changed the size of the field. I said, the whole practice over.
Peyton got mad and
made everyone start over in the cold. 20 degrees. I said, okay. Oh, no, nah, don't worry about it.
You were hot.
You know, if I had one of them jet moments. hey, Mac Man, so when the offense out there, they would jet at inside, looking at the window like they're right here.
Wait a minute, you went inside?
Oh, yeah, I'm inside in the building. Just waiting till the defense time to come up. I'm like, what? It's too cold, Mac, man. I'd have been out here for an hour and 30 minutes already. We got to start over.
Peyton Williams, you said he was a perfectionist, so man.
He a perfectionist.
That's why.
Ball, we start over, and we going to change direction and go and do it again.
And boys ain't dropping no more passes.
Boys ain't dropping no more passes.
Hey, that's why Peyton Manning is the guy who he is. One of the best to ever do it at the quarterback position, the sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Sheriff. Hey, what? Hey, DRC, man. Listen, Dominique Rogers Cromartie, man. Great, great conversation, man. Appreciate you joining me here. All things covered. Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. TSU, great. You said something earlier in our conversation. You said you wanted to be forever be remembered Tennessee State when you went there. And that 45. No one can wear the 45 like you wore. I saw why he got there with that 45 on. I saw you at the Senior Bowl with the red spat. You remember you had the red spat with the white cleats?
No.
I mean, why he in the secondary with 45, though? I couldn't figure that out. I was so happy you had that 29 at Arizona.
I had that by default, Mike, man.
But then you find a way to go get 45.
Yeah, when I first got there, I tried to get it from the fullback, he been there for a couple years, like 5 years. He wore 45. Matt, man, I was a rookie. I think because he went for a round, he told me he wanted 30,000. I said, man, I ain't got it.
Oh, he wanted 30.
He wanted 30.
You waited out, but you made 29 a hot thing out there. But when you got a chance to go get 45, you got it and you rolled with it.
Yes, sir.
You rolled with it. Hey, man, appreciate you joining me. When the next semi pro game?
Saturday. We play the number two team in it, man. It's going to be a good game. They had the first game, we beat them 19-20, so I know they want to get right.
Okay, so make sure if you go viral, you go viral for the right reason.
All right.
Let me know when you're back up this way so I can boo you, too.
Man, I'm going to take five on your ace. I'm ready.
I hope you take five. I ain't going to let you in there. Whatever you say, hey, I ain't going to try to boo you, but I got to boo you. I got to boo you. To get the pot, I got to boo you, man. Appreciate it, DRC.
All right, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount+. Only with the Paramount+ with Showtime plan.